I'm also thankful to Linda for doing our bulletin week by week and many interesting articles and things that she puts in there. Even the humorous section is always a delight to read. So thank you, Linda, for that. What a wonderful day today is, right? Thanksgiving Sunday. Special opportunity that we have to express our thanks not only to one another, but of course to the Lord God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, I trust that tomorrow, being Thanksgiving Monday, you will have a great time with family that may be gathering around your place. And thank you for sharing the things that you're thankful for even this morning. May we always be a thankful people. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, if you want to turn there, we read this, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? A lot of ground. Do you notice that there are no qualifiers to this phrase? There's no except in. In everything, except in whatever, give thanks. There's no little phrase or qualifier that says except for. In everything, give thanks, except for, there's no qualifier. There's no unless, you know, whatever circumstances may be. Giving thanks is to be in everything. Everything. It is characteristic of being a Christian to be a thankful person. Now, of course, the big reason for giving thanks in everything is because it is, as the verse says, the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's the will of God. A lot of people wonder what God's will is. Well, I can tell you pretty clearly what at least this part of it is. You want to know what God's will is? Here it is. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So how are you doing with doing the will of God in the giving of thanks and everything? And not to put too big a point on it, just an interesting thought that comes to mind every once in a while. The verse says, in everything, not for everything. In everything, give thanks, not for everything, give thanks. It's an interesting thought. We also need to keep in mind Paul's statement in Romans 8:28 that we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We might not be thankful for everything. You can probably think of some circumstances and situations that have come into your life that are pretty tough to give thanks for. But we can give thanks in everything, in every experience, in every circumstance, in every situation. It is God's will that we give thanks in everything. And I trust that you are able to do that. Also, still reflecting on verse 18 here, you will notice that the giving of thanks in everything is the third of three exhortations by the Apostle Paul in this section. You know what the other two are, right? Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing, one and two, and then number three, in everything give thanks. I would submit to you this morning that if you have a hard time, you will have a hard time doing number three, in everything give thanks, if you're not consistent in doing number one and two. If you're not rejoicing evermore, if you're not living a life attitude and habit of prayer, you know, pray without ceasing, you will have a hard time giving thanks in everything. But if we have that joyful spirit, that joyful attitude, rejoice evermore, and we are living in constant communication with our Heavenly Father through prayer, that will make it possible to give thanks in everything. Even the tough things that may come along, we'll still be able to give thanks in the midst of those circumstances. So muse on that. Think on that for a little while. And as the scripture says, examine yourself. See how you're doing with rejoicing in prayer and now in giving of thanks. It's a wonderful little section that Paul's given us here in 1 Thessalonians 5. But we want to go a little bit further this morning. The word thank and all of its composite forms, thankful, thanksgiving, thanks, plural, thankworthy, thanked, past tense, thankfulness, and even unthankful, that word occurs twice in the Bible. All forms of the word thank occur 141 times in our Bible. 141 times. The greatest number is the word thanks, plural, 73 times. And then thanksgiving, 28 times. And the word thanks, singular, is 27 times throughout the scriptures. 141 times in our Bible. The Bible book that has the most occurrences of the word thank and some of its forms, what do you think? I heard somebody... No, not Romans. What's the song book in the Old Testament? Psalms. 32 times in the book of Psalms you will find the word thank or thanksgiving, thankfulness, that kind of thing. The New Testament book with the most occurrences of the word thank, this will kind of make you go, it's the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of the Son of Man. Presenting Jesus as the perfect Son of Man, the perfect man. 11 times in the Gospel of Luke you have the word thank. 31 out of 66 books in our Bible have at least one occurrence of the word thank. Thanks. 12 in the Old Testament, 19 in the New. So it's a common word. And we would say an important word, not least of which is because to give thanks in everything is the will of God. So it'd be good to know the other areas where the word thank is used and what's associated with those things. The Hebrew word translated thank is yada. Yada. Very interesting word, and it has a whole wide range of meanings. Our English Bibles have translated yada into many English words. Yada basically means to use the hand or to hold out the hand, right? Yada referring to that part of the arm, the hand, but literally to hold out the hand. One lexicon said, physically it means to throw, like a stone, to throw at or throw away. Are you decluttering your homes at this time of year? You're throwing stuff away? How do you do that? Well, you use your hand and you toss it out. It means also to revere or to worship, that is, with extended hands, right? Also, one definition was, intensively, it means to bemoan by the wringing of the hands. Wringing of the hands to bemoan. So yada, basically meaning hand, the extension of the hand, has a whole variety of nuances and situations in which it's used. In terms of giving thanks, then, we can understand yada having the meaning of extending the hand in gratitude and appreciation. Thank you. You know, sometimes we do that. Thank you. Yada is quite a physical and expressive term. So it's not just saying thank you, but there's expression in it. You might want to give a hug or shake a hand and say thank you. Extend the hand that way. It's a very active kind of word. And we love to be able to express thanksgiving in that manner to one another. The Greek word is eucharisteo. Eucharisteo, the root of that being charis. Charis is a Greek word that means grace. And eucharisteo means good grace. You've heard the word Eucharist. And our Catholics have their Eucharist. It means good grace or thanks. It expresses gratitude, Eucharisto. So with these kinds of things in mind, and that is the common word translated thanks in our New Testament, Eucharisteo. So with these things in mind, I would like for us to take the rest of our time this morning and check out the book of Colossians, where we find six occurrences of the word thank. And just interesting to see what thanksgiving is associated with in Paul's little letter to the Colossians. Do you remember where Paul is writing Colossians from? A Roman prison, that's right. So you might think, well, if he's writing from a Roman prison, how in the world is he ever going to express thanksgiving and thankfulness? Well, in everything, give thanks, even if you're in a Roman prison. And so these six occurrences are very interesting, and we want to take a look at each verse briefly this morning. The first one is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. The verse says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Right? We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. The context of that one verse is actually verses 3 down through 8. And it's all one sentence in our English Bibles as well as in the Greek. All one sentence. Look at the following verses. So we're praying always for you, end of verse 3, "since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." Period. End of verse 8. That's the context for the giving of thanks. So here's a couple of questions. To whom does Paul give thanks? Verse 3. To God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All thanksgiving rightfully belongs to God and to the Lord Jesus. We need to thank each other for things that we may do for each other, but ultimately all thanks belongs to God, who is at work in all of us and doing things in and through us. So to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what, secondly, what does the giving of thanks to God entail? Verse 3. It's praying, right? Praying always for you, he says. Praying for the Colossians. Here's the Apostle Paul. Picture him in a Roman prison. He's praying for the Colossians and giving thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what does Paul thank the Lord about? Well, that's, again, verses 4 through 8. We heard about your faith in Christ, he says. The love that you have to all the saints, the hope that's laid up for you in heaven. Heard the gospel, it brought forth fruit in your life, verse 6. And even verse 8, Epaphras declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And for all of these things, as Paul is praying for them, that they would continue to grow and abound in the grace of God and in the love of God, he gives thanks to God the Father for what God has been doing in the midst and in the lives of that Colossian church. Anything to learn here for us today? Sure there is. When you give thanks to God. And you can give thanks to God for the spiritual life and growth of others in Christ. Maybe you've had a part in someone's salvation, sharing the gospel with them. They've come to know the Lord, and now you have a part to see them grow in the things of the Lord. And you can thank God for the growth that you may see in their lives, the growth in the Spirit, growth in grace, growth in the knowledge of Christ, and so on. So the giving of thanks, it's not this, at least in this verse, is not necessarily for what God does in me, but what God is doing in you. And we need to be always mindful, and Paul expresses that in saying, I pray for you always, about the spiritual blessings and the growth that we see in other people in Christ. The second verse, same chapter, down in verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, quite a mouthful. Basically, what Paul is saying here is he's thankful to God for the salvation that we all have together. Once again, to whom does Paul give thanks? To the Father, right? To the Father, God the Father. And what does Paul thank the Lord for in this instance? Well, if you read verse 12 down through 14, you will get an idea of what he is thankful for. So verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that basically our salvation experience, what Christ has done for us? We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints. In the light, who is the light? Christ said, I am the light of the world. We are in him. He's delivered us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, and we have redemption through the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Say yes. Okay. Basically, we give thanks to God, our Father, for the salvation that he has provided for us through his only begotten incarnate Son, the Lord Jesus. As we have read, we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The inheritance is eternal life that we have as a gift from God. We are delivered from the power of darkness. We have our sins forgiven. We have redemption in his blood. So, give thanks to the Father for what? For our salvation, and for all the things that he has accomplished in our lives through his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and for the blessings that he gives. I mean, to have our sins forgiven, how awesome is that? It's just amazing if you stop and ponder that a little bit. The third place in Colossians where the word thanks is to be found is in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. 2 and verse 7. So thus far we've learned thanksgiving belongs to go to God. We can thank the Lord for each other and the facts that we are together in Christ and that there's spiritual growth and ministry that we see going on. We can also thank the Lord for the salvation that he has provided, the redemption through Christ. Here in this third verse, Colossians 2:7, we can read this. Rooted and built up in him, established in what? The faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The context for this verse is verse 6 down through 8. Let me read those for you. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There's some more unique things for which we need to give thanks. Notice that he talks about abounding in thanksgiving here in verse 7. We are to abound in thanksgiving. There's never too much of an extreme in giving of thanks, it seems to me, as we give thanks to the Lord our God. Abound in it. And that is part of our walk as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to verse 6. As we have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, we're to walk in him. And that abounding thanksgiving is to be characteristic of our walk as Christians. We've also been established in, and I think the technical idea of the faith is what Paul had in mind. It's similar to what Jude wrote in Jude 3, that we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We are to abound in thanksgiving in the faith, maybe even for the faith, that body of doctrine that we glean from the Word of God. And I firmly believe that that's what the faith is, that body of doctrine we learn from the Word of God. So things like, some of you have been through systematic theology in our 3BI class way back when. We talked about bibliology, which is the doctrine of the Bible. We talked about theology, which is the doctrine of God. Christology, the doctrine of Christ. Pneumatology is the doctrine of Holy Spirit. Anthropology, the doctrine of man, right? We talked about angelology, that's a real hard one. Doctrine of angels, holy angels, fallen angels, Satan. We talked about soteriology, doctrine of salvation. Hamartiology is the doctrine of sin. We've talked about ecclesiology, which is the doctrine of the church. And eschatology, which is the doctrine of future things, right? So we learn all of those ologies. The faith consists of all of those things that we glean from the Word of God. If you have a copy of our statement of our faith in your possession at home, we purposely refer to it as our statement of the faith, what we believe the scriptures teach concerning that body of doctrine. And what you see here in Colossians chapter 2 is that the faith is opposed by the philosophy of men and vain deceit, by the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and that's not after Christ, it's after man-made philosophies. The faith is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's anything that detracts away from him or is false concerning him, is not the faith. Now, we got lots of religion around, and lots of ideas that people have about who God is and who Christ is and what he really did on the cross, if he even went to the cross. There's all kinds of teaching out there. But if it does not conform to the faith that we get from the Word of God, it is only a philosophy of men. It's vain deceit. It's traditions of men and rudiments of the world. It's not after Christ. And so, as Paul says in verse 8, beware, lest any man spoil you through those things. We don't want to spoil anybody. We want them to know the truth, to know the faith, and so then be able to give thanks to the Lord for the faith that he has given us and in which we have been taught. So let us thank the Lord, abound in thanksgiving for the faith in which we have been established, that truth of God's word that is so important in our lives. Let us walk in Christ and live out the faith that we have in him, being an aboundingly thankful people. Some more thoughts in that verse, but you'll have to work them out on your own. I'm running out of time. Number four verse where thank is used is Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Right? Be ye thankful. So here in this context of this verse, we have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. And I would submit to you, in our hearts individually, right? That the peace of God rules in all of our hearts individually. And then he talks about our calling in one body, right? So that's the corporate gathering of the church, the corporate being that we have here in a local church. And so what's associated with thanksgiving here in this verse? It's the peace of God that rules in all of our hearts. And then the fact that we have unity together in one body, even here in the local church. Corporate thanksgiving is, I think, the mind of the Apostle Paul here. Corporate thanksgiving. We got to be a thankful people as a local church for who we are and what God is doing in our hearts as well as in our midst. And, I mean, we've had 23 years together as Berean Baptist Church. We've seen the Lord do some amazing things in our lives individually, but also in our lives corporately. Even the fact that we have a building like we have is just part of God's blessing, I think, to us. Do you know that our mortgage is now down below $80,000? $78,000, I think. So 2 years. It's almost like 2 weeks, isn't it? 2 years, we should have that mortgage paid off, and that will be a great day for which to thank the Lord. I'll be 69 years old at that point. We need to thank the Lord corporately together as a local church for the good spirit that we have here as we gather together to worship him. Even for business meetings, always a good spirit. And that what we do together is reason and cause for giving him thanks. Now, the next verse, the fifth one, is in the same chapter, just two verses later, verse 17. Verse 17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word..." Where do words come from? From here to here to there. "Whatever you do in word or in deed," right? "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him," that is by Christ. So once again, to whom does thanksgiving belong? To God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the association of this giving of thanks here in this verse? Well, Paul says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks for the opportunities to do those things." So everything that we do in the context of the local church, as brothers and sisters together here in this place, everything that we say and do is to be done in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, with great thanksgiving attached and associated with it. Now, verse 16, the one right in the middle of the two, that was one of our summer 3:16 memory verses. Do you remember? Verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word and deed of verse 17, I submit to you, must come from the word of Christ dwelling in you, right? The word of Christ, obviously, is the scriptures, it's the Bible. And as the word of Christ dwells in us, as we're teaching and admonishing one another, do you know that the greatest way to solidify the truth of God's word in your own mind is to teach it to somebody else? And the study, the preparation for teaching a lesson on anything out of the scriptures will really lock it away in your own heart and mind. So find somebody you can teach the word of God. When that word of Christ dwells in you, teaching and admonishing one another through the various means of Scripture, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, everything that we then do and say is to be governed by the word of Christ. If it's dwelling here, then when that comes out, everything we do and say needs to be governed by the word of Christ, said and done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't think I need to say too much about that around here. To do something in the name of the Lord Jesus is not just simply to add "in Jesus' name" at the end of your prayer or whatever it is that you're stating. To do something in the name of someone else, in the name of Jesus, is to do that thing that's in keeping with the character and the nature and the way and means of that particular person. So to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus means that we do everything as not necessarily what Jesus would do, because he could do some things we can't, but we would do as Jesus did, his manner. Everything we say and do must somehow support and build and revere and reverence who Christ is in his whole being, his whole person. If we say anything or something or anything that will detract from his person and his character, demean him in some way, that's not doing those things in his name. What we say and what we do must be in accordance with Jesus' whole nature, his whole being. And so that means we will not do anything that will compromise or demean our Savior, the Lord Jesus. That's going to put a little bit of, I was going to say hesitation, but not hesitation, but we're going to be maybe thoughtful about what we say and what we do, if it's done in the name of the Lord Jesus, to make sure that it's not going to detract or take away from anything concerning Christ. So, you know, remember that little chorus we used to sing? Be careful, little eyes, what you see, careful, little ears, what you hear, careful, little mouth, what you say. We ought to be careful, because when we speak, as it says there in verse 15, where am I? The word of Christ dwelling in us, whatever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If we say some stuff that's not in accordance with Christ, either what he said in his word or his whole person, that's not going to be pleasing to the Father. And so we need to be careful about the things we say and do. Lastly, the sixth place in Colossians where the word thank is found is in chapter 4, verse 2. I think this verse is very clear. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Here we have some final instructions by the Apostle Paul for the Colossians as he concludes his epistle. This verse is clear, is it not? Continue in prayer. Don't give up praying. Make sure that you're consistent in prayer. But pray, and along with praying, be thankful. The context for this verse 2 is actually verses 3 and 4. Here Paul says, with all praying for also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So the praying here is connected with the Apostle Paul's preaching and his teaching as a missionary, as an evangelist, and as an apostle. Pray for Paul, he says, and pray for me, he says to the Colossians, as he preaches the word of God. In our day, then, we are to pray for, if we apply it to today, we're to pray for pastors, missionaries, evangelists, teachers, those who are expounding on the Word of God, those who work in the Word, that we might make the mystery of Christ manifest, open, and known, and to speak clearly as we ought to speak. And I appreciate your prayers on that behalf. I know I'm not the world's greatest preacher or anything like that, but your prayers in that regard, I believe, really help quite a lot in expressing God's word. So continue in prayer, watch in the same, in prayer, with thanksgiving, and being thankful to the Lord for his servants who continue to hold forth the word of life. So here in Colossians, we have six verses. We have a pretty good expression of the need for thanksgiving and the context in which thanksgiving then is to be given for what God is doing in all of your lives and spiritual growth in grace and in Christ, for the salvation that we have, the fact that we can walk with Christ and express that truth to others. We in chapter 3 talked about the word of Christ dwelling in us richly, so that we can go and express all of those things to others with great thanks. And then prayer and thanksgiving seems just to go hand to hand in the Bible as well. We have pretty good expression of the need for thanksgiving, the context in which it is to be expressed and given. And I would encourage you to take those six verses and maybe this afternoon reflect on them a little bit more. Muse on them and see what other things you may be able to learn for your own spiritual well-being and thanksgiving in your lives. May we always be a thankful people. Always. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for just a quick look in your word at some places where thanksgiving is given and the exhortation to be thankful. We thank you for your word and for those expressions of thanksgiving that we can learn and we trust apply to our lives even today. Thank you for all that you have said to us. May we be good servants for thyself in this day, and may we always be a thankful people. We know it is your will that we be so. I ask, Lord, that you'll bless your word to each of our hearts. Cause us to carefully think on those things that you have said to us in it, and we'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.